You are going to love my next guest. Her name is Gina L. Osborne, and she began her career in law enforcement in 1986 by enlisting in the U.S. Army as a counterintelligence special agent. She served 6 years during the Cold War investigating the highest profile espionage cases in the European theater. In 1996, Gina became a special agent with the FBI, and she had numerous assignments over the last 22 years that including investigating Asian organized crime in the Little Saigon district of Orange County and supervising counterterrorism investigations in Southeast Asia. Gina led some of the Bureau's most significant cyber investigations relating to national security and computer intrusions, to include the hack on Sony Pictures Entertainment. I remember that. Now, Gina is sharing her experiences in a true crime podcast called Behind the Crime Scene. Gina Osborne, next on the CJ Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show, the CJ Evolution podcast. I am Pat Fitzgibbons. I am your host. Thank you for tuning in. We know you got many options out there, but thank you for spending a little bit of your valuable time with us. If you head over to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. We sure would appreciate it, and continue to share with your family and friends. Thank you so much. A big shout out and much support to our brave men and women who protect this great country every day, whether in the U.S. military, whether as law enforcement and other first responders. Thank you so much for what you do. I know you don't feel it right now, but you have much support. I wish we were much more vocal. Some people, we need to be, but you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Please take care of each other. Come home safe. Man, I'm so excited to tell you about our partnership with Detecticam. If you've never heard of this company, you have to check them out. Detecticam is keeping our brave men and women who protect us every day safer by offering mobile threat detection that fits in the palm of your hand, detecting illicit drugs, explosives. You need this equipment. And if you head over to cjevolution.com, you're going to see a link to Detecticam. Check them out. You are going to love their equipment. They're going to help keep your troops safer. For all you criminal justice professionals out there, I know most of you love coffee, and you are going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. They have everything from coffees, elixirs, to cocos. And my personal favorite is the Lion's Mane Mushroom Coffee. Yeah, I said mushrooms, not weird mushrooms, the good mushrooms. Doesn't taste like mushrooms either. It tastes like regular coffee. I think it tastes better than regular coffee. I know, because I've been drinking it for a long time now. You are going to love their products. Head over to cjevolution.com. You're going to get 15% off. Yes, 15% off of your product when you check out using promo code CJEVO. You know, if you are suffering from stomach or gut issues, a lot of it could be due to stress. A lot of it is probably due to what you're eating. But my friends at Bioptimizers have your solution. If you're over 35, your enzyme levels have already begun to decline and your immune system can be more susceptible to viruses. Enzymes are the workhorses of digestion. They break down your food into usable macro and micronutrients. Research shows that by the time someone hits 65, their saliva and pancreatic secretions, both of which are involved in enzyme activity, can have declined by as much as 50%. This decline creates chronic indigestion, setting the stage for gut issues, yeast and mold overgrowth, even malnutrition. This is why I'm a big fan of enzyme and probiotic supplementations, and one of the best companies I've ever found that specializes in optimizing your digestion through both of these supplements are my friends at Bioptimizers. Bioptimizers found a better version for the probiotic. The result is a new super strain they call the Navy SEAL of probiotics, because it eliminates bad bacteria and protects the good bacteria. You can watch the P3OM Mass Zymes combo rapidly dissolve raw steak when you go to www.bioptimizers.com/CJEvolution. That's bioptimizers.com/CJEvolution. And use the promo code CJE10 to get 10% off any package. Try their enzyme and probiotic combo pack risk-free today. They have the best guarantee I've seen in the industry. It's a 365-day full money-back guarantee. Again, that's www.bioptimizers.com/CJEvolution. On to the show with Gina L. Osborne. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I am very excited to have my next guest on the show. Her name is Gina Osborne. She's the host of a great new podcast called Behind the Crime Scene Podcast. I've listened to it. You have to, too. She's a keynote speaker, writer, FBI assistant, special agent in charge, retired, and she's also an Army veteran. I don't know how she slept during that time, but Gina, are you here?
I'm here.
God, what a decorated career.
Thank you.
Oh my God. You spent a lot of years in law enforcement on the federal level, but you started off in the Army. We'll get into that. What made you want to serve? And what was the calling? What was the catalyst?
Gosh. Well, when I was in high school, I was fascinated with the Cold War. I'm going to date myself a little bit. It was the 80s. It was the decade of the spy. And I wanted to be one. I wanted to chase spies across Europe. And anything about the KGB and the CIA, I wanted to read about it. I wanted to live it. I wanted to breathe it. And so I wanted to work for the CIA. And all I really needed was a four-year degree and a sense of adventure. And I had that. So I was in my second year of college. I had run out of money. And one day, a young man sat next to me in the library and started telling me about the Army's counterintelligence program. And he said I could live overseas, I could chase spies, and I could live in the condos. I mean, it was a total Private Benjamin thing, if you remember that movie way back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And so the next day, I went down to the Army recruiter, and I signed up. And 8 months later, I was eating dirt at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, as a private first class. And I was very fortunate, after going to spy school at Fort Huachuca, Arizona, to be stationed in Belgium as a counterintelligence special agent for the Army. And I did 6 years in Belgium and Germany as a counterintelligence agent. And it was an amazing time. During that time, I was chasing spies.
That is amazing. And you, what is the training like, if you could talk about it, in the Army? I mean, it's a lot of, you know, interview, probably interrogation kind of stuff. And what kind of training goes into that?
You know, a lot of interviewing, like you said, interrogation, surveillance, learning how to be invisible. It was a lot of spy stuff, stuff that you read about in books. And for us, they split the training. It was 12 weeks, and then you went out and you went out into the field, and then you went back to Fort Huachuca, and then you had an advanced course where they really got into, you know, what it's like to recruit people, because, and gathering intelligence and doing things like that, and getting into the informants and all of that. And it was a lot of work, and then kind of throwing you out there. And I was a cocktail waitress turned counterintelligence agent almost overnight. So
now, did you learn any different languages or anything?
You know, I spoke French, but I'm still in touch with my high school French teacher, and she said I was a horrible student not too long ago. So I spoke a little bit of French when I got over there. And when I got to Germany, I spoke a little bit of German. But yes, I did learn the languages while I was over there.
Now, you were involved in so many different things when you were in the assignments in the Army. Now, can you talk about a case? You were involved with a case about a U.S. soldier that was charged with treason during Desert Storm, and you were pretty instrumental in that case. Can you share kind of some of the deets about that?
Well, I was very fortunate to be assigned to a team that investigated the highest profile espionage cases in the European theater during the end of the Cold War into the first Gulf War. And going into Desert Shield, Desert Storm, there was an individual by the name of Albert Sambalay, and he was a specialist, and he was assigned in Baumholder, Germany, and he was trying to sell sensitive information to, we'll say, a Middle Eastern entity. Now, his unit, they were deployed to Kuwait, and they were the unit that they were busting the Scuds out of the sky. Mm-hmm. And this guy was back in Baumholder trying to sell troop deployment information on his unit, chemical protection equipment. He was just a bad guy. So we followed him around for about 3 months. And I was fortunate to be across the street from his house when he was arrested for espionage. So we went to his trial. He wound up getting 34 years for espionage. And, to like I said, be a cocktail waitress turned counterintelligence agent and watch a spy get arrested was one of the highlights of my career.
Wow. And I mean, how did it happen a lot? Because I remember there was a lot of like the movies like Falcon and the Snowman, where it was you remember that movie in the 80s where it was so, they made it sound like it was happening, you know, all the time. I mean, was it that common or was it kind of wasn't as common as people might think?
You know, I wouldn't say it was common, but it was happening. And when it was happening, the information that was being passed was significant.
Yeah. Yeah. And it probably still happens to some degree. It probably does. It's on a different level probably with technology, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I can just tell you that the counterintelligence mission for the FBI, when I left, they were very busy.
Wow. Now that's a great segue. Okay. So you're in the Army, served honorably. Thank you for your service, by the way.
And thank you as well.
Yeah. You were doing the great stuff. I was jumping out of planes, but,
cool stuff. But what you were doing was very significant as well.
Well, I appreciate it. But, okay. So you did your time in the military again. Thank you. So how did you head into the FBI? How did you direct yourself, or did somebody direct you to the FBI and say, hey, Gina, you would kick butt in the FBI?
Well, I got out and it was sort of a transition. I got out of the military in 1992. The entire government was downsizing. I sat through a four-year hiring freeze and got into the FBI in 1996. Did a variety of different things. I thought I was going to be working counterintelligence. When I got into the FBI, I wound up working Asian organized crime. So there was kind of a completely different thing, path for me, and wound up working terrorism after 9/11, went back to headquarters. I was on our inspection staff, and that's where I got into cyber. I did inspections. The FBI inspected itself. We went to different field offices to make sure that all of the field offices were efficient and effective in working their programs. And I started inspecting cyber programs because not a lot of the other team leaders had cyber experience. I didn't have cyber experience either, but I did have the sense of adventure that I was willing to try things with. And then I wound up going back to Los Angeles, and I was in charge of cyber and computer forensics as the assistant special agent in charge there. And I did that for 11 years before I retired in 2018. And so I worked with the most amazing people in the world, the most talented cyber agents and computer scientists and analysts and computer forensics folks, excuse me. And we, one of the big cases that we worked that people would know was the North Korean hack into Sony Pictures Entertainment.
Wow. They were just trying to get, what was the deal behind? I mean, they were just trying to penetrate, obviously, and get in there to get what? I mean,
So North Korea was not happy with the fact that Sony Pictures did a movie called The Interview, and it did not depict their supreme leader in a positive light. And that's how the whole thing started. And so that turned into a catastrophic cyber event against Sony Pictures Entertainment, which I don't know what the numbers were, but I would say hundreds of millions of dollars worth of loss.
Wow.
It turned into psychological warfare because the emails were stolen from the main executives. And I'm only talking about information that is in the press. I'm not giving any secrets away. Mm-hmm. Those emails were released into the public. Content was released into the public. And it was a complete shutdown for Sony Pictures Entertainment. So it was really a catastrophic cyber attack against them.
And then you dealt a lot with computer forensics, and most people know that's dealing with crimes, you know, analyzing laptops and stuff like that, right?
Yes. We built a $7 million state-of-the-art 20,000 square foot regional computer forensics lab in Orange County, California. And that lab worked on the cell phone for the terrorist attack in San Bernardino. You'll remember that because there was a lot of news on that because we couldn't get into the Apple iPhone. And so there was a big dispute with Apple over that.
Yeah, I remember they were, they obviously citing, privacy issues and things like that. I mean, what do you think? I mean, Gina, going forward, you still are very educated on these subjects. I mean, Where are we going with like cybersecurity and stuff like that? I mean, it seems like there, and I know from law enforcement, when I mean, there's not a crime out there that doesn't have some technological component. How, I mean, it seems like, and let me back up. I know for a fact that the FBI looks into thousands of potential hacks every day, right?
Well, they look at the significant hacks, and really they're looking at national security. So anything related to terrorism, counterintelligence, and then also major criminal attacks that happen. But if you look at what's going on, you know, we're kind of going back into sort of a Cold War, but it's more of a technological Cold War because we have Russia that's interfered in our elections back in 2016. Mm-hmm. Russia attacked the Ukrainian power grid in 2016 as well, where 80,000 residents lost power. So when you look at what the future holds as far as warfare goes, you know, I mean, the critical infrastructure, that's definitely a threat for us. So it's definitely a concern, and prevention is what we need to be looking at. You know, we don't want to wait to see what happens and respond anymore. I mean, prevention is a huge thing that we need to be looking at.
Yeah. I remember I had a guest on a while ago, and he was an expert like you, and he was saying, you mentioned the grids, the power grids in the United States. He said, literally it's hanging on by, I mean, it's like put together with like a paperclip, and that was his analogy. I mean, it's just so fragile, which obviously is a vulnerability to our national security.
Sure. So,
yeah, it's crazy. Go ahead.
But I've had the opportunity to work before I retired. I worked with a lot of really, really smart people who work for the power grids, and they are doing everything they can to secure them, to make sure, like I said, prevention is key. And we're very fortunate. I mean, people will be happy to know that everyone's talking to each other, and that's important to prevent attacks from happening.
Yeah. Now, how can people, Gina, protect themselves as far as like on a personal level with, you know, their computers and, you know, make sure that they're not getting hacked or not getting their identity stolen? I mean, I guess there's just so many things, but what are some tips and suggestions to help the individual out there stay safe and keep their identity safe?
Well, you know, I think the easiest thing is we're only as strong as the weakest link. And more often than not, you know, whether it's a corporation or whether it's ourselves, we cannot be targets of phishing campaigns. And phishing campaigns are when someone will send you, hey, I need you to click on this link, or I need you to open the, you know, and 9 out of 10 times we'll be really, really smart and we won't do it. But it's that one time that we decide, well, I may know this person. I don't know if I know this person or not. And we click on the link, and that's when we leave ourselves vulnerable. But I have a really good friend who is a cyber expert. His name is Scott Augenbaum, and he wrote this great book called The Secret to Cybersecurity. And he goes into all of the different tips and techniques for the layperson on what you should do to keep yourself safe in a cyber attack. And I can go into a lot of different things, but if you want to read a really solid book, he worked it for years and years and years before I did in the FBI. And I think that would be a good tip for your readers or for your listeners to go to.
Excellent. And I know when I was in law enforcement, I, you know, getting back to the cybersecurity aspect, I always felt bad for not the older population, because they haven't grown up obviously with this technology. And we saw a lot, as you did probably, Gina, a lot of victims who are older that, you know, they're not used to this technology. So they would click on the link and they would click on that phishing scam, and they would lose a ton of money, and young people too. But I always, you know, I felt bad for the older generation that would fall for this because they're just not used to it.
Right. And I think it's if it's too good to be true.
Yeah, exactly.
It is. And it's really a common sense thing. And it amazes me, because I'm on social media a lot with this podcast, and it's amazes me that on Facebook, it'll be a good looking guy who wants to be my friend. And it's so easy to tell, because it's a scam, because the person has no friends. The person has no friends that are connected to you. The person's usually a really good looking person, and usually they call you my dear because that's a Nigerian thing. And usually they're widowed. You know, this is for your female listeners. They're usually widowed. They're usually on some sort of humanitarian thing in a different country.
Yeah.
And usually they want to get your email right away. So if that is kind of how the conversation goes, that's how the scam begins. Yeah. And once they get their email, then they want to get close to you, and then they're going to ask you to do something.
Yeah.
PayPal
money to them.
Exactly. So don't get involved, no matter what. Don't get involved.
Yeah. And there's so many scams out there. You know, look, folks, the IRS doesn't individually call people.
Yes.
And say you owe back taxes. That's not how the IRS works.
Exactly.
Well, cool. Let's change direction really quick. And let's talk about your podcast, Behind the Crime Scene. I've listened to it. I think it's amazing. And talk about it.
Okay. So a friend of mine who I just met within the last 3 months, actually, our former sheriff in Orange County, California, Sandra Hutchins. She's been a mutual friend of mine and my co-host, Tracy Miller, for the last 10 years or more. And she put us together, Tracy and I, and we met for the first time 3 months ago, and we really hit it off. Tracy is a prosecutor, and we just started talking, and we came up with this idea where we should talk about going behind the crime scene. What's it really like behind the crime scene for not only investigators, but also for prosecutors? So we decided we were going to come up with this podcast. And really what it does is it explores the human side of first responders, investigators, and prosecutors. And we focus on notorious cases that have haunted these crime fighters for their entire careers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so many of them out there too. And yeah, it's interesting to me, and I love this show because it you know, most people get what they know about law enforcement, you know, Gina, from movies and Hollywood. So it's good to see a show like this that this is reality. This is, you know, what it's about, and it's not about, you know, the, you know, CSI Miami behind the crime scene. I mean, it's Hollywood. So I love shows like yours that are authentic and really dive into, like you said, I mean, some of these horrible crime scenes that these brave men and women that protect us, they're haunted by. I mean, when we were talking before, I was telling you about, you know, people I knew that were involved in the JonBenet case here in Boulder, Colorado, and it still haunts them.
Sure. Yes. And I have cases. I mean, I'm sure you do too, just things that you think about and every now and again, that'll keep you up at night, that you wished you could have done something different. You wish something could have changed or something like that. And really when we talk to our guests and we hear it just really humanizes law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that we really want to get across to people. And I think that's fascinating.
Yeah. And the one thing kind of circling back to technology, you know, it's amazing to me because I loved in crime scenes and, you know, investigating and putting the pieces together when I was a cop and detective. But the technology that is available now for law enforcement, you know, in regards to crime scene investigation is amazing.
It is. And that's what I used to love, watching my cyber agents and analysts do their job, because it was like a chess game.
Yeah.
And they would always be one step ahead. And sometimes, you know, it was that's what I loved. I loved just watching it because it was always intellectual, a lot more than when I was a knuckle dragger doing my job way back when.
Well, they're coming up with, you know, new fingerprint lifting techniques and all kinds of technology and, you know, blood detection. And I mean, it's just insane that the technology behind it now when it comes to the crime scene.
Right. I remember back in the day when I would get DMV photos and I would put them up on the wall, and then I would have string putting who was attached to who. That's how we used to do it back in the day.
Yeah, with blood spatter analysis, they can do it with computers and all kinds of stuff. You remember stringing, you know, blood patterns, you know, I remember doing the stringing and stuff like that. And, you know, I imagine they still do that to some degree, but now it's all technology.
Yes.
So what tips and suggestions would you give for somebody? There's a lot of podcasts out there.
There are.
What tips and suggestions would you give for somebody who wants to start a podcast?
Oh gosh, really? No. We've gone a long way in a short amount of time. So I say, really understand what you want your format to be, because our first two episodes of our podcast really, they changed a lot. And our third episode that's coming out on Tuesday, we have Bill Hodgman, who was Marsha Clark's boss on the trial of the century, O.J. Simpson. And we changed our format. And I think that's the format that we're going to be going with from here on out. So I think it's really important before you start is to have a really good understanding as to what your format is. And really know what your brand is. I think that's my suggestion is really having that solid before you start.
Absolutely. And like I said, I've listened to the show and it's amazing. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that you're also a keynote. What do you go around and speak, and you got a ton of experience, obviously. What are you speaking about?
I have about different things that I talk about. The one thing I do is I talk about turning chaos and crisis into courage and accomplishment.
Oh, I love that.
So that's one thing I do. And then Tracy and I go out and we talk about going behind the crime scene and our experiences, me as an FBI agent, her as a prosecutor, and we sort of tell our stories and then bring lessons to the people through our experiences.
Yeah.
And then I also talk to women's group. I'm on the board of directors for the Girl Scouts of Orange County. I was a Brownie back in the day, and I'm very proud to be part of this great organization. And so I do a lot of speaking to women's groups, having been a woman in a male-dominated field for 28 years. I talk about leadership, and I inspire people to identify what their dreams are and to go out and accomplish their dreams.
Yeah, that is awesome, Gina. And I bet you it's very empowering and inspiring for young women who see you, who is very successful, had a great career. And it's empowering for them. I mean, I imagine you're getting a lot of young women or coming up to you saying, how do I join the FBI?
I love that. That's my favorite part of it is talking to people afterward, because I love telling stories. I'm a natural born storyteller. I have a lot of stories to tell. And I just love to empower people. I love to empower young girls to want to step out of their comfort zones and step out of the box and dream big. You know, that's always been my thing. My two favorite quotes are, "She believed she could, so she did." And, "She who attempts the absurd can achieve the impossible." So go out and do what you never believed you could.
Yeah. And surround yourself with the right people. I always tell people, you gotta have the people around you that are pumping you up and encouraging you, not the people that are telling you, you can't do it.
I believe that too.
Gina Osborne, how can people find you, ma'am?
They can find me at www.behindthecrimescene.com. That's our website. Find me on LinkedIn. Gina, I'm all over the place. Gina L. Osborne. You can find me on Instagram and, Facebook, everywhere.
Gina Osborne, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. Thank you for your service to this great country. Anything we can do from you, please let me know. Much success to you. And everybody, everything that we talked about as far as links to Gina's show, how to find her on social, is going to be in the show notes. So Gina Osborne, thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.